Hi, I'm Alex Weiss, Senior Editor of Cure.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
Now, it's been a very busy few weeks here at Cure and in the oncology space as a whole, as the last two weekends had back-to-back meetings. The American Society of Clinical Oncology's Gastrointestinal Cancers Symposium, and then their Genitourinary Cancer Symposium. And here are some of the highlights from the conference, but as always, you can find all of our coverage at curetoday.com. Now, Brielle, let's start with the Gastrointestinal Cancers Symposium. What was some of the big news?
So first up, we covered research that found that Imfinzi, Avastin, and TACE, it may set a new standard of care in liver cancer. So for patients with liver cancer whose disease is not eligible to be removed via surgery, adding Imfinzi and Avastin to transarterial chemoembolization, also known as TACE, tended to lengthen the time patients lived before their disease got worse. Now, this is according to findings from the EMERALD-1 trial. The improvements in progression-free survival over TACE alone could lead to a new standard of care for this patient population, according to the lead study author, Dr. Riccardo Lencioni. More specifically, patients who receive Imfinzi and Avastin plus TACE live for a median of 15 months before death or disease worsening, compared to 8.2 months for patients who receive TACE alone. So the time patients live until death or disease worsening, that is our statistic known as progression-free survival. And this correlates to a 23% reduction in the risk of disease progression or death. And benefits were seen across all different patient subgroups, so different patient characteristics, things like that. Most patients saw this benefit. Now, notably, the researchers on EMERALD-1 are still monitoring how the addition of the two drugs impacts overall survival, which is the time patients live after treatment until death of any cause. Once those data become more clear, it's possible that the drug manufacturers could submit this regimen to the FDA for potential approval, thereby shaking up the standard of care of TACE, which has remained the main treatment in this setting for about two decades. So we don't know quite yet. We're going to see how those overall survival data come, but maybe in a year or two, this might be our newly approved regimen. So definitely stay tuned for more on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Other big news is that cancer in the bloodstream may predict colorectal cancer outcomes. Now, circulating tumor DNA, also known as ctDNA, this was another hot topic at the Gastrointestinal Cancers Symposium. And ctDNA measures little fragments of cancer that are found in the bloodstream after cancer treatment. This is a way of detecting cancer DNA just through a very simple blood draw. And findings from the BESPOKE trial highlight the fact that ctDNA may offer insight into the recurrence risk in patients with stages 2 or 3 colorectal cancer who underwent surgery and then chemotherapy. The researchers used ctDNA to help determine the minimal residual disease or MRD status. And essentially, patients with disease still detected in the bloodstream are MRD positive, while those without detectable disease are MRD negative. And findings from this study show that those with MRD negativity tended to live longer without experiencing relapse or death compared to patients with MRD positivity. And Brielle, I think there's a lot of excitement around circulating tumor DNA in the oncology space right now. I know from a few doctors I have spoken to just in January alone, they've said ctDNA is something to watch out for in 2024.
Yeah, so it's not just being used in colorectal or gastric cancers, but across the cancer space. Now, I think a lot of researchers are saying too that like the exact use and the best way to use it is still being kind of figured out. It's still to be determined, but still it is definitely a good prognostic tool potentially. And we're excited to see where this goes and how this could continue to better treatment.
Oh, absolutely. And if you want to know any more about MRD, I wrote a whole feature article on MRD that was in an issue of Cure a few months back. So that is up on curetoday.com. If you want to learn more about that topic, I certainly learned a lot about it in the reporting of that story. So next up, we're going to pivot over to the Genitourinary Cancers Symposium. What was going on weekend two of our back-to-back conference marathon, Brielle?
One thing that we covered in our GU Cancer Symposium is that there were survival benefits with Keytruda plus Padcev in advanced urothelial cancers. That's bladder cancer. So back in December, the Food and Drug Administration approved Padcev plus Keytruda for patients with previously treated locally advanced or metastatic bladder cancer. So the approval was based on primary findings from the EV-302 trial. Now, updated findings from the trial are showing that the drug duo continues to outperform chemotherapy when it comes to progression-free survival, which is the time that patients live before their disease gets worse or before death, as well as overall survival. So that's the time patients live before death of any cause. Notably, these survival benefits were seen across patient subgroups, such as those with visceral metastasis and lymph node-only disease. According to the lead study author, Dr. Michelle S. van der Heijden, this could result in a new standard of care in patients with locally advanced or metastatic urothelial carcinoma. So in, you know, GI Cancer Symposium, we saw a new potential standard of care in liver cancer, and now we're seeing the same thing potentially with bladder cancer.
And on the prostate cancer front, one study found that many people with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer are not undergoing germline or somatic testing. Now, this is really important because back in 2020, two PARP inhibitors were approved in this setting. These are targeted drugs that are approved for patients whose cancers have certain characteristics which can be determined by these types of tests. And rates of germline and somatic testing have increased since the FDA approvals, but according to the study, which looked at real-world evidence of patients being treated in community cancer and urology centers, about 40% of patients still did not undergo standard of care testing. Now, the study author, Dr. Neil Shore, said that this indicates the need for improved education on the importance of germline and somatic testing. And I think that's one thing that's really important is, you know, we can have all these approvals and all these advancements, but if patients are not informed about their disease and their current disease status, they might be missing out on treatments that are intended for patients just like them.
Right. And we know that these personalized treatments tend to work better than, you know, your run-of-the-mill chemotherapy agents or whatever is, you know, approved in this setting. So if you have the opportunity to get a personalized treatment, I think that's definitely something patients should talk to their doctors about. What kind of testing should I undergo? What kind of targeted treatment options are potentially available for me and things like that. So it's just start having those kind of conversations, I think, with clinicians. That is one thing that Dr. Shore emphasized in his presentation is that, you know, this is really important and patients and clinicians alike should be educated on this.
And I think one other thing to note with this is that real-world studies are very important. Looking at something in a clinical trial setting or in a lab setting is very, very informative from a scientific perspective, but observing real-world behaviors and patterns of behavior, I think, can also tell us a lot about things like this, people who are actually getting tested or not, for example.
I couldn't agree more, Alex. I think, you know, these data are really important and highlights potentially some gaps of care that hopefully are going to be addressed in the coming months and years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that just about scratches the surface of some of the coverage we had from the two ASCO symposiums that happened over the last couple of weekends. But for much, much more information on this and everything else happening in the oncology space, be sure to stay tuned to curetoday.com. And until we talk to you next time, I've been Alex Weiss.
And I'm Brielle Bunyan.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.